The distance that we covered during our procession with the palms really is not a long one, at least in terms of physical distance. And it really is rather fun to walk out of the parish hall and into the church, waving our palm branches in the air, and then beginning to sing our hosannas. On a Sunday morning, in what looks like winter but really is spring, it's really good to be with our parish family and to celebrate the joy of a new day. The palms smell fresh and green. It feels like spring in church. And at the same time, we remember the wonderful, beautiful greeting the people of Jerusalem gave to Jesus when he finally arrived at the city gates 2,000 years ago. They cheered and they cried out, "Hosanna," or "Save us now, Lord." They threw their cloaks and palm branches over the dust in the road so it would not come up and cover him. And it really was a royal welcome. They were hoping for a new day, a day when the Roman oppressors would be driven out. They were looking for a new kingdom in a political sense. They wanted Jesus to be their king. And when we go home, we remember that we too were part of this royal welcome, and we carry our palms as evidence. The distance that we cover, spiritually anyway, from the blessing of the palms to the end of the Passion Gospel is enormous. We travel from lauding and honoring Jesus as our King to burying his lifeless body. And we've begun our Holy Week. The silence that falls upon the church as the Passion ends is more profound than the hosannas that preceded it. And in that silence, which can be terrible and awkward and even painful as we reflect on what just has happened, there is at least as much truth as there was in the shouting of Hosanna. I find that the silences in the Gospel of St. Mark, and especially in this Passion narrative, frame the identity of Jesus of Nazareth in a very clear way. The silences in this Gospel challenge us. We who would like to identify ourselves as followers of Jesus, they challenge us to speak up and reveal ourselves to the world. Throughout the entire Gospel of Mark, Jesus commands people to remain silent each time they recognize him for who he really is. He is the Son of the Blessed One, and he works miracles, but he asks people not to share that news. So beginning with the unclean spirit in the first chapter, and continuing with the many people he heals, and even with his closest friends, he asks them to tell no one who he really is. And while most of them actually fail to obey his command, Jesus himself never talks about his identity. He is entirely silent until the day he is going to die. It is not until the high priest asks him directly, "Are you the Messiah?" that Jesus breaks his silence and says, "I am." Really, this is the most important sentence in the entire story. It's easy to miss the significance in our translation, but think about it. Jesus is using the words that God used to identify God's self to Abraham when Abraham asked the Holy One, "Who am I going to say sent me?" And God says, "Tell them, I am." He's using the holy name to identify himself. And when Jesus says, "I am," He's really saying, in code, I am God. I am your Holy One. He's never done this before. Can it be that he has feared all along that the people would try to proclaim him as their king? He's always talked about the kingdom of God, but Jesus has never talked about himself as God. And really, although he speaks all the time about the kingdom, Jesus is not the sort of person to proclaim himself king. And the way that Jesus saves us is really not in what we expect from an earthly king, is it? So Jesus breaks his silence and he tells the truth, and the powers of hell are immediately unleashed upon him, and he is beaten and scourged and tortured and abused. So I wonder, do we who follow Jesus speak the truth about ourselves, that we consider ourselves the children of the one God, that we speak of a God of love and mercy and justice and inclusion? Or do we avoid saying that because we are afraid that the same thing may happen to us as happened to Jesus? I find that the silence that surrounds the other actors in the Passion narrative is also notable. Pilate's silence allows evil to flourish. You know, for a provincial governor, he exercises his authority with very few words. Pilate knows the truth about Jesus, and he knows the circumstances surrounding the arrest. He knows Jesus is an innocent man, that he really is a king, and that the temple priests are jealous of his authority. But Pilate does not speak the truth. He allows other voices to dominate. And I wonder, is he just detached because he doesn't like his job? Or is he really a cowardly leader who's afraid to break his silence and unintentionally fosters evil? He caves in to the pressure of the crowd who were shouting for Jesus' death. And I wonder, how often do we keep silent and allow louder voices to monopolize public narrative? Do we have the courage to be unpopular by speaking the truth, even to be hated, as Jesus was when he challenged unjust laws and merciless traditions? And then think about the crowd. The crowd is silent with respect to who Jesus has been for them, and they send an innocent man to his death. When Pilate asks the crowd what he should do with the king of the Jews, it really is shocking that they do not acclaim Jesus the way they did when he entered Jerusalem. There are no hosannas in the palace courtyard. The crowd gathered is silent about his identity, and instead, they clamor for his crucifixion. The cry for blood has silenced the truth. How often has our own silence acquiesced to the powers of death in one way or another? Are we willing to stone someone we perceive as a sinner or a heretic? Or are we willing to work for reconciliation and for peace and forgiveness as Jesus did? Peter would have been grateful if that servant girl had been silent. He tries to silence her by refusing to reveal his identity, and it doesn't work. Unfortunately for him, she refuses to be quiet. He is one of them. And I wonder how often we are willing to label people who are different from us as one of them, and how often we are afraid of being labeled ourselves. Are we willing to follow the example of Jesus and to work for understanding with our neighbors of different religions or churches or ethnic groups? or shall we be silent? And then there's the silence of the women who are gathered near the cross. There is no record in this gospel of what the women standing at the foot of the cross said to one another. In the first century, as in our own time, there were groups whose voice was not important enough to be noted. And we must remember that it is precisely these voiceless people with whom Jesus spent all his time. Do we dare to allow them to speak in our own time, even if we don't necessarily like what they're going to say to us? And then there is the final silence of death, as Jesus is laid in his tomb. An overwhelming silence surrounds Joseph of Arimathea as he performs an honorable act of justice and charity, challenging the powers that have allowed unjust and uncharitable things to happen. Joseph used his authority and his prestige, because he was a wealthy man, to do the right thing with the body of Jesus instead of leaving him out to be consumed by the birds. His action carried enormous personal risk, and he did it anyway and allowed Jesus to be buried in Joseph's tomb. I wonder, how are we willing to use our own power and authority in charitable ways for honorable ends? It is only through Christ, my friend, that the powers of death have been vanquished. Our Lord has laid down his life in order to redeem us from death. He still is crucified every day. All around the world he is crucified. The Lamb of God still continues to submit in love and in silence. Jesus is embodied in the poor, in the voiceless, in the powerless and the rejected. And our responsibilities as Christians are to him and to them. If we're not going to remember that, all the hosannas we may proclaim in church are empty words. We who follow Jesus celebrate a banquet every Sunday so we may be strengthened for a holy life in the world. Today we received our party favors, the palms. Let's not just tuck them behind the mirror. Let's bring home our palms and remember who we are and what we need to do for his sake. And not just for this week. Amen.